SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time to dominate the sportsbooks on Moneyline. Your best live odds on the MLB postseason.
On the seventh pitch, Harper hits one in the air, left center field, back it goes! Harper, the swing of his life!
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Plus all the NFL and college football action you need before opening kickoff.
And if he steps into it, pass, it's caught! Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Inch by inch, play by play. So we're finished.
With your host, Donnie Wrightside.
Last year, Kevin, in the National League, which is where you're looking at, you know who ended up in the NLCS? Yeah, the 5 and the 6.
And Kevin Walsh.
That is one of the most remarkable performances in a negative fashion that we've ever seen.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Oh, here we go away on a football Thursday afternoon. And the reason I bring that up is we can't talk Major League Baseball anymore with handicapping upcoming games. Why is that, Kevin Walsh? Because the World Series ended yesterday. And I know you love the 5-0 score in game number 5. Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, and away we go.
Loved it. It's one of those things. I don't know if maybe some people bet that series total run. If you did, I hope you bet it under, as I did, and it wasn't a lucky result. You know, we were in bad shape if the series went long, but I didn't expect a long series. I didn't get to really get your thoughts, Donnie, on what you thought heading into this matchup, but
yeah.
I saw your tweets about the ratings of the series. Mm-hmm. So I could imagine maybe it fell in line with me a little. This Rangers team is just far more talented than an Arizona group that didn't, I can't say they didn't belong to be there, but well, Donnie, what happens to Cinderella's, I guess, along with dropping ratings, mm-hmm. is their card gets pulled. Arizona is not a World Series level team, and it was on display in this series.
You're correct. In order for a national audience to watch, you need to be compelling on both sides. I've said this so many times in the past, and quite frankly, it's usually just associated with March Madness. Duke, Kentucky is supposed to be an Elite Eight game. You are looking forward to that. Here comes St. Peter's, knocks off Kentucky. So much fun to watch until you realize you have to watch said team again with no superstars when you could have had that true blue blood rivalry that you wanted to see. And that's the way it walks in all walks of life. We knew heading, this wasn't a surprise, like, oh my God, Kevin, baseball's in trouble. Did you see the ratings? Like, no, we knew the ratings were going to be this way. And they would have been higher if the Philadelphia Phillies were in, if the Atlanta Braves were in, if the Dodgers were in, because it's more compelling storylines, bigger payrolls equal what, Kevin? Bigger superstars. We love Alec Thomas. We love Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte. They're fun stories. They're regional stories, though, to be honest. And that's what you got in the World Series. And yes, you didn't get a Game 6 or Game 7 to have that, I need to tune in tonight, everything is on the line. It wasn't. It got wrapped up in 5. That also plays into it.
It certainly does. And that's, but again, those Cinderellas, Donnie, right? Why is there less intrigue? Because at some point, St. Peter's runs into North Carolina, and the game is not fun. It's like, this is a disaster. And I'm not saying that this World Series wasn't fun. I'm talking about my handicap. The Rangers are a World Series caliber team. It just is. And the Diamondbacks are not. The Diamondbacks were able to make that run, right? But this result here of a 5-game win for Texas was expected. I'll say this, though. If you'd have said, hey, Arizona grabs one game, which is it? I would have given him a chance in the Merrill Kelly game. But big picture, Donnie, how in the world did this Rangers group just go 11-0 on the road? I mean, that is remarkable beyond belief that this team, and that's all-time stuff. You may never see that again.
No, nobody's ever going to win 11 games in one playoff run on the road. That's never, you will never, that might as well be put up there with the, Lou Gehrig or hit streaks, whatever you think is the untouchable star to go after what Tom Brady was trying to set there in the NFL. That's never going to happen again. It's not supposed to happen. That's like power Powerball lottery type stuff. Number one, for a team to win a World Series, and number two, that team to just continue to win on the road, which means they were such a good baseball team, they couldn't win at home? Yeah, we're never going to see 11 road wins ever again in a Major League Baseball run.
It's, you're right, because they had to win, like, they maxed out, right?
Yes.
They maxed out on road wins. They could not
they had 11
have won
road
any
wins.
More
they had 11 road games.
Games.
They won every one of them. Yeah, it's not like, 12-1 was awesome. Like, no, every time they played on the road, they won.
You're right. We will never see that again. Unless they basically, I don't know, get rid of the regular season and expand the postseason format or something. And there's just way
that's
more available. You're right. We won't see. Man, I didn't, that even as I brought it up myself, like, they maxed out. Mm-hmm. They played as many road games as they possibly, I guess they could have lost. No, is there? Could they have played more road games? Yes, they could have played against Baltimore, right? If they would have lost two in a row in Texas and gone back for Game 5, so they could have gone 12-0.
Yes,
but they got 11-0. Oh, poor them.
Every time they went out there, they won on the road, which is incredible. It's just the phenomenal stuff there by the Texas Rangers, deservedly so, and also overcoming, you know, injury. Adolis Garcia goes down. Adolis Garcia didn't go down late in Game 5. It's like, whew, my goodness, we wrapped it up tonight. Like, this guy missed a few, like, action, and it was like, you know what? Let's just drop 11 runs in one game and then five in the next.
Can I ask you another big picture thing out of this then? Because you're right, Adolis Garcia goes out. Well, who has to step up? Corey Seager. And I feel like, and I don't know if this is just in the moment, it's hard, Donnie, but if you talk about the greatest hitters in the history of postseason baseball, mm-hmm. right? No one is going to run and say Corey Seager. Why the heck not? Like, you saw the numbers side by side with Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. Mm-hmm. I mean, Corey Seager, is it a mistake to say he just punched his ticket into the Cooperstown?
Yeah, he's there. Yep, absolutely, he's there. Like, forget about him just being a great ball player. You usually have the add-ons that you need, right? Some people just get in just by being a great ball player. Now, he still has a long way to go. Two different franchises, two different World Series. You were the catalyst. You're going to the Hall of Fame. It's just that's it. How many times, because I don't know, I'm not going back, but it's few and far between to have multiple World Series championships and multiple World Series MVPs with different ball clubs. I don't know if it's happened. I'm sure it might have happened in 100 and some odd years in baseball. I get it. But that's Hall of Fame type stuff. He'll continue to pad those stats. But when you have two World Series MVPs and two World Series championships, along with being a really good baseball player, you better be getting in the Hall of Fame, especially now how watered down it gets.
Yeah, it's remarkable, man. You know, because all the postseason records are going to belong to modern guys due to the fact that they play more and more games. But, you know, he had a side-by-side with Reggie where it showed, like, this isn't about more games, man. This is about taking the opportunity and running with it. And that's what Corey Seager's done. And it's not just him, though, right? I mean, Eovaldi gets a lot of credit. And, you know, in a sport, Donnie, where a lot of people go, man, managing makes no difference. Everything's a computer. I mean, get Bruce Bochy in the Hall of Fame. Is he already in? I mean, what's the story there? Let's induct him while he's active. My goodness.
Four World Series championships for Bochy. And also, this wasn't like, hey, man, finally, this has been 15 years since my last one. It was a brand-new baseball team. Hey, sign on. You want to be the manager? Sure. How's it going to work out? I don't know. World Series championship with a lot of injuries during the season to top-flight competitors. Like your pitching staff? Yeah, and he still managed to get through it, which included winning 11 road games in the playoffs in hostile territory. Tremendous stuff. We got you for an hour. Don't go anywhere. SiriusXM Channel 159 Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Thursday afternoon. NFL action tonight, people. Live from Acrisure Stadium, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Tennessee Titans. And if you guys love football, you want more football, you're going to get it tonight. Game time decision starts at 7 o'clock. When 8 o'clock rolls around, K-Dub doesn't leave the airwaves. He just adds two more people to the show live in studio. Those two people, Donnie Wrightside and Joe Lisi, setting it up. We'll have some fun, a lot of topics to talk about, including this weekend's games, but more importantly, how we see tonight's game breaking down. It's not the most exciting game, you guys know that, but there are some intricacies here. We can have some fun and bets that have already been made, K-Dub.
Yeah, I have two on the board right now, trying to figure out, you and I usually are similar in this, right, of your straight wager, and then, okay, this is a best bet type of wager. So there's one that I'm contemplating in terms of a best bet wager. I'll let people know I'm looking at the running back room, both sides of the football tonight. I think there's a couple of options out there. Can we talk, though, like, and this is the stuff I feel like you love getting into, Donnie, right, when it comes to game plans, right? So Will Levis goes out there and lights up the Atlanta Falcons with deep passes galore. Just straightforward. Mike Tomlin cannot just allow that to happen, right? Like, doesn't it have to be focused number one now for his Steelers defense here?
I don't know if it has to be focused number one overall, because hear me out on this. 28-23, Tennessee Titans over the Atlanta Falcons. Four touchdown passes for Will Levis. But those four touchdown passes wasn't, okay, 37 of 44, 448 and four touchdowns, like we're back in college. It was 19 of 29. It was efficient. It was a perfectly called game that said, you know what, DeAndre? We're going to scheme you open quite a bit. Double moves, wide open. And I'm actually not taking anything away from Will Levis. You have to make those throws. I talked about it this morning. Jimmy Garoppolo had multiple throws on Monday to wide open Devontae Adams. Oh. I was like, oh, I'm scared. Airmail. You know what I mean? God. So you still have to stay in the pocket and make those throws. But they were also buoyed by a Derrick Henry game where he controlled the tempo. 22 carries, 101 yards. That's what you needed there. So I'm interested to see what Will Levis does tonight. But I know what you're saying, because Will Levis now has a game on tape. It's like, okay, well, he's got a big, strong arm. He's going to throw it deep. Let's force him to throw the intermediate routes, or intermediate routes, I should say, at this point. But there is tape now where you're not going to be surprised. Like, oh, that's Will Levis. Like, no, no, you know what Will Levis is now, Mike Tomlin. You do.
I agree. I also, you know, we talk advantages here. I think Mike Vrabel is he one of the most underrated coaches in the league? I don't know. I know he's one of the best. But rookie quarterback against Mike Tomlin, you have to be giving the advantage to Mike Tomlin. Second career start, Tomlin has to have edge at home. You know, I think the big question, Donnie, is what's the health tonight for Kenny Pickett? I mean, is this guy good? You know, on a short week here, I'm a little surprised that your boy Mitchell Trubisky isn't in the mix.
Yeah, they're tricky injuries, right? Because I've never played football at a level where it's like, give me a shot before the football game. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to get a shot in the hamstring or the calf, and, you know, certainly not in my shoulder back then. But the way that you get ready for the game, right? Let's just say, because it's apparent he's going to play tonight, because they're going to say, like, look, you can't do any more damage to it. Just a pain threshold. And here's a needle in there. You won't feel any pain. So there is something to say. And I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to dominate. I don't even think Will Levis is going to dominate tonight. Effectiveness is the key. The way I look at this football game for me is the strength of the Tennessee Titans is they can run the football. Pro Football Focus, I believe, number 6 with their running game overall. They can get after it, and their games have shown that, including last week against the Atlanta Falcons. The one thing the Pittsburgh Steelers can't, they can't run the football. It's like Steelers throughout the decades, always known for being hard-nosed offensive line run blockers. They can't block anybody right now. So when my focus turns to Kenny Pickett, it's not on a big football game, but I think the pathway to victory for them is not handing off 40 times in this game. You actually have to throw the football. I think their wide receivers have an advantage against the secondary. I don't think that front 7 for the Tennessee Titans is not, that's an advantage against the Steelers front line. I don't think they're going to abuse them on the ground tonight, so I think Kenny Pickett has to show up.
They're probably going to need a healthy diet of both, though, because I don't think you can have Kenny Pickett be dropping back 40 times, Tom.
No, he's not going to. I'm just saying, like, it's not like, hey, look at that last drive out of Steelers. That's Steelers football. 7 carries, 2 passes, and a touchdown. Like, no, that's not happening tonight. It's not.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think the, you know, Jalen Warren versus Najee Harris debate has been one that's been ongoing all season. Last game out, though, they were handled a bit by the Jacksonville Jaguars, so it kind of limited some of the workload on the ground for Najee Harris. We'll see what it looks like tonight in a game that they should never be trailing in by really more than one score, quite honestly. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting. The thing about Pittsburgh that we had discussed on Sunday's show was how, you know, had they been able to get the win against Jacksonville, they'd be sitting there at 5-2, and I'm like, it's impossible. The team's not 5-2 quality. Well, they lost. And if they did lose here tonight, you'd look at Pittsburgh and be like, yeah, of course the Steelers are 500. That's what Mike Tomlin is able to do. He's able to take this team that is fine and make sure that they are a little bit better than average, maybe. But also, you know, Mike Tomlin's bears responsibility for continuing to allow Matt Canada to be this team's offensive coordinator. I mean, they're chanting at it every single game. I don't understand. Is this stubbornness, Donnie?
Is it the Steeler way that they're just saying? Is this like, we don't do that, even though it might be the right move? Because they take pride in, we've got two coaches over the past 75 years in Tomlin and Cowher, and
right.
We are patient. We don't fire general managers. We don't fire coaches. But everybody, sometimes you can look at like, hey, look, you don't want to be that quick on the trigger here. Let it play out here. Like a college football program, right? Down in the doldrums, you sign a coach to a six-year deal. After year two, like, oh, we got to get rid of him. Like, dude, you didn't even let us get his recruits one cycle through there to rebuild your program. Josh McDaniel, we knew it had to end. We knew 6 years, 1 year, 2 years, it didn't matter. Josh McDaniels was horrendous for that football team. He had to go. And nobody looks at them and go, hey, you know what? Like, where's Dan Orlovsky at these days? Psh, I'm breaking down Matt Canada film. It's unbelievable. They're just not making the right plays. We don't even see that out there. You know what I mean?
And you, Orlovsky can find a positive on it.
He can find a positive all over the place. Right, yes. Right. Correct.
Yeah. And again, like, you want that continuity from Cowher to Tom. Okay, that's not what anyone's talking about. Like, offensive coordinators, it's a moving game. You want to find someone to stay, find somebody good. Don't find someone mediocre who's going to stay because he'll never get an offensive, you know, or get a head coaching job based on his production, right? So it's a bad spot they've put themselves in terms of that, and it feels like they have lost seasons because of it. Because you go into these years and you look at the roster, and even if you like the roster, you know that the offense won't live up to its potential due to the offensive coordinator. It's been going on for a while now with Matt Canada. It really has.
It's funny, too, because you take a look at some of these organizations, right, that sort of had a blind spot, if you will. Like the New England Patriots had Tom Brady for so long. Any quarterback coming here is going to be able to dominate. Oh, man, Mac Jones really can't throw the football, can he? Same thing in Pittsburgh. We got Ben Roethlisberger for 15 years, Hall of Fame quarterback. Boy, we're really good. Who are you going to go to now? Trubisky. Go get Trubisky. We'll be just fine over here in Pittsburgh. When we all laughed at that move, like, wait a second. Like, it would have been real intriguing if they got a Carson Wentz or somebody with a little bit higher upside. Yeah. You knew Trubisky's upside. The upside was stink. It's downstairs. It's basement level upside for him. And that's what you get. So you get Kenny Pickett, and he's not the most flashy guy, but you just don't see it. And there are web. Look, Pickens is a really good young wide receiver. Deontay Johnson is an electric young wide receiver. There's weapons out there that can do some damage with. Correct me if I'm wrong. Najee wasn't a seventh-round undrafted free agent coming into the NFL trying to make his way. That was a dominant tailback out of Alabama. There's no excuses for them to be this poor on offense, Kevin. None.
The Najee thing, I don't think, Donnie, is sometimes talked about enough, and I kind of get why. But running backs that go in the first round, the knock is the value. It is never almost, or I should say rarely, it's the production. Najee got drafted in the first round and stinks! That's not supposed to happen, and I know that it's not him, because I watched what he did at Alabama, and he was unstoppable.
Yeah, the offensive line there for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 27th ranked in rush. Come on now, Steelers, get it together. We'll be back talking much, much more football and everything else you got right next here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Donnie Wrightside and every once in a while, Kevin Walsh.
Nailed it behind the scenes. I mean, sometimes I have to remind myself, like when I open up the shows, like, is Kevin actually here today? What day is this? And how many days does he have off? Like, I get into that mode every once in a while.
You know, I got to tell you, pal, you work a lot and you keep adding hours, which is frustrating because it kind of blocks some of my stuff. But just because we don't have the exact same off days does not allow for such slander. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I mean, you and your Reese's Pieces and all that stuff.
Let me tell you, people
couldn't even believe. They couldn't believe it.
I watched that. I was told to watch that segment.
Yeah,
and started texting in all caps.
Uh-huh. I saw the
how I demand
the way. It was shared. It was shared.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was shared.
Okay.
It was good. I was called an infant.
Yes, you were. Because you sound like an infant when you say Reese's Pieces. But the best part was, whether intentional or not, was them going hot mic.
Yeah, stupid. And by the way, going hot mic where, you know, my mom's probably listening to the show right now, got the text behind the scenes like, oh, your mic is still open like that. Why did I have to say that? And when I said it, they go, yeah, it was. You didn't alert me, people? Well, I mean, they don't appreciate my time here, apparently, because, I mean, we mess around on breaks. We don't get, you know, vulgar and nasty, but come on now. Soon as I said, like, yeah, you were live at that point, like, well, wait a second. Why are you agreeing with this and not saying, like, oh, wait, we didn't know that. You should have just lied to me. Like, oh, we had no idea you were live at that point. But certainly it was. And by the way, the mics today were pretty good. We have Joe Ranieri on Thursdays. Talk a little NFL, college football today. So Ranieri goes on the show, like, look, getting texts at 2:30 in the morning about a deal where, you know, so-and-so got fired from the Vegas Raiders. And I said, hold on now. So I stop Ben's question. I go, was that a text at 2:30 in the morning because Kevin called out yet again for the game? And it set the tangent perfectly. This wasn't behind the scenes. This was live on the air. So I thought you should know that as well. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a fine line you walk of one of your bits being I don't work hard. It's really sometimes it hits, sometimes it's real annoying, and I know either way it plays for you.
It does. It plays for everybody. You know what else plays? Getting great phone callers here up on the line, talking some football, having some fun with us. Chris in Austin is ready to go on a Thursday with the boys on Moneyline. What's up there, buddy?
Hey, man, that was real good. The dynamic duo is back sometimes, huh? I miss you guys in the morning. I really do. I really do, man. That was good. That was good.
Yep.
Hey, man, I'll keep my comments to myself. Okay, so Thursday night game, man. Yes. It's missed. Thursday night. This game, guys, follow me now, is that I think it's going to look a lot like that Cleveland Pittsburgh game a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
When PJ played and you had the running game of the Browns. I think the game is going to look a lot like that. I really, really do. So I'm going to take the Steelers, and I'm going to take the over 36.5. Because I think it'll be in that 24-21 range, 24-17. So it barely makes it over. And I'll tell you what I told PJ. I got bad numbers. Because when I had a real good night last week, I bet this game it was at 4.5 and 37.5. So that's what I've got. But on the college, and you know there's a couple of college games tonight, I've got 12.5 on Wake Forest, and I've got 45.
Ooh.
Those lines have moved majorly. Majorly. I mean, I'm hoarse because the World Series remains in Texas, the only state to ever be a sovereign country, the baseball capital of the world. So I was yelling last night.
True.
But, so, yeah, man, I think Wake Forest at 12.5 is down to 7.5 now. I don't know what to do with that number. I think Duke's on its way down. They had their kind of climax a couple of weeks ago when they lost that close game. And so 12.5 with Wake Forest and under 45. And here's a play. I love the Sixers. And I love playing Tyrese Maxey on the points, rebounds, and assists. That number's been 33.5 all year. He's went over it every time I've hit that one. And it's still 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Tyrese Maxey. That's a winning bet. In the hockey, I like Toronto tonight. Boston's got a few guys out. I just found that out. It's a good thing. And I like the Wild on the money line and over 6.5. I got that last night from Cam. So I'm going to tell Cam on that one. I can't say that. That's my pick. That's Cam's pick. I think the Steelers fools it out tonight. And we need more of the dynamic duo the way it was. I just wish it'd go back to the way it was and not just sometimes. You guys have a good one. I love you. Peace.
There we go. Playing hurt right there. That guy's playing hurt right there, K-Dub. Day to day, still calling in, ready to go. Barely has a voice, but lets the people know what the good word is out there in these streets last night. How about that, K-Dub? How about that? A lot of action for him today, Chris.
Yeah, you got to respect it there. Are you all over the NBA board tonight or what? Sixers in action, big game, couple debuts.
Yeah, I don't. You know what's funny too, because I've been enjoying the NBA. Yesterday, I did not bet yesterday, and it upset me a little bit, because the reason I say that is I've been on the Ben Simmons train, and there was a 50% odds boost out there yesterday, and I thought about doing it again, but you know, you get tied up with stuff. I checked it; his numbers are going higher and higher. Like the value that you were getting for like 6 rebounds, now 8 rebounds. So I clicked it for 8, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stay away from that one tonight. Ben Simmons, I see, is immediately in foul trouble with 3 fouls in the first quarter. I'm like, good, I escaped that one. Check in later in the game. Yeah, he got 10 rebounds. Like, rebounds and assists for Ben Simmons are the way to attack that. Forget about the points altogether. But I'm sort of, you know, watching and waiting at this point for some of those, because I really do want to start same game parlays, number one, but also dipping into the, you know, round robins in the NBA and how much fun they could be by including 6 different games. That's good stuff.
So 2 things from me. One, I had a Kawhi Leonard bet on Tuesday of over 2.5 made threes, and then I took him up down for 4+ and 5+. He's atrocious in the game. But the handicap is based on the amount of threes Kawhi is shooting. He just had a really bad game. He then made 4 threes in the first quarter against the Lakers. Made his 5th in the game as well. And I didn't bet it. And it was a little early season reminder of, you know, with the NBA, a cap that misses on a Tuesday doesn't mean it can't come in the next night. Because sometimes those things can roll over, right? And you're looking to hit it over a long period of time. So, you know, sometimes if you find an NBA angle, you can really run with it for a little bit. But here's my other thing I wanted to bring up. And I shouldn't probably kind of tempt with this, but I can't help myself. Someone explain the hell to me why P.J. Tucker played last night but James Harden didn't, and what in the world that was about.
He's not in shape yet, is basically. They want a few more practices under their belt. Now, this is coming from a guy that I understand, like, if you're away from the game for 10 days, you're a professional athlete. There's probably a pretty good chance that, I know he said he was taking care of his mom. Did he sit at her bedside 24 hours a day for 10 straight days? He probably got some workouts in there. He comes back to Philadelphia. He's got 5 days of workouts there. He flies out to California, and it's like, well, we need more workouts. How many workouts do we need for James Harden?
It's a bad look. It is. And this is not, and when I say it's a bad look, I am not talking about everyone's, hey, guys in the NBA aren't playing. I am not talking about that. I'm talking about, what in the world is going on? Because he said that he was trying to come back and play. Remember how he's like, oh, I'm going to play for the Sixers, by the way. And I'm like, man, get out of here. No, you're not. Like, so he just was kind of bluffing and playing the game the entire time. And just now is not ready to go. It's a bad look. Him getting out of Philadelphia, Donnie, was such a personal beef with Maury that I understand that, but him not being ready to play ball, listen, family stuff like that, I understand that obviously is, that's super important, and if that's entirely what was going on here, but with Harden, it's just, it always feels like there's more. So for the trade to go through, and PJ Tucker's out there playing in overtime, right? but Harden is on the bench, it's just not a good look. Now, all in all, for the Clippers, it's a whole bunch of whatever, right? Like, the Clippers, more than any team in the NBA, Donnie, I know that you think every team thinks this, I just know the Clippers do. Regular season, look, man, let's just pray that our guys are healthy for the playoffs, even though they can't last the length of the playoffs as is. But you want to get this guy out there. You have to. So we'll see how it goes. Lakers got themselves a really nice win in that game. And one more quick note. The funniest thing maybe LeBron's done in his entire 21-year career is have the Darvin Ham tell people he was on a minutes limit and then play 5, 6, 7 minutes more than that limit every single game since. It's a hilarious bit.
AD, 48 minutes. I brought this up this morning. I said, man, it's great the Lakers are winning games. They're showing they can do that. Mm-hmm. The Lakers aren't going to make it through the season. There's no way they're going to make it through the season. If LeBron James and AD have to play virtually every single minute for them to be competitive, yeah. I actually thought the Lakers came into the season with a good game plan. Hey, rest LeBron a little bit. You beefed up that bench. It's solid. You know, mm-hmm. you could use it. Apparently, you can't. Apparently, if LeBron and AD up. Are not in the game, it's a wrap at this point.
They're a little banged up, and they've actually had a little bit of a tough schedule to start. If you kind of look at the schedule, Donnie, right? Like mm-hmm. Nuggets, Suns, Clippers, Kings, those are all high-level teams. But to your point, look, they didn't need to be in overtime against Orlando or against
They're up by 10 points with 2 minutes to go.
The Clippers. And that's the issue, more than, right? Or, like, don't get into, I don't know if they didn't go to overtime with the Magic. They went to overtime with the Kings. But stop going overtime. Stop going overtime. End these games.
Extra minutes. Talking about going to overtime. Maybe the Bucks need to go to overtime.
Ooh.
That's going with Dame Lillard out there every night. And also, the Celtics. Crown them, baby. Don't even play this season. Crown those Celtics. We'll talk about that and much, much more coming up right after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking football here on a Thursday. Talking basketball on a Thursday. Not much more talk about Major League Baseball until Shohei Ohtani doesn't sign with the Yankees because they told you Jason Dominguez is the future superstar of those Yanks. We're waiting on that. That's coming soon. We'll see where he switches teams, see who gets signed. The hot stove's heating up, but Major League Baseball is done. And away we go into the season full blast. College basketball starting up next week, which is way too early to be starting. Everybody knows college basketball officially starts the day after the bowl games have ended, which is January 1st. Is that correct?
But you also need games to be played from November until after the Super Bowl.
But I don't, because here's the thing for me.
What do you do without your numbers?
No, they here's the best part about it. Like, when I had my services, Kevin, we weren't even betting games basically till like late January, early February.
Yeah.
Because the goal is how many regular season conference games. That's the key. The silly season actually gives me no numbers that I can even
trust.
You see what I'm saying? Exactly. Because the only numbers I trust are like versus like opponents. Because I use KenPom a lot. There's a button that you can click.
Right.
Full season, conference season. When you get to the conference season, and I mean by the conference season, let's just say, and it's really the sweet spot, the month of February. It's unbelievable. It's fun. It's so much profitable. You know exactly where these numbers fit. But when you don't have that, you're going like, oh, man, UCLA's offense is awesome. They go, hey Donnie, they play like six, you know, clown squads here. That's why they're good. Ooh, I didn't see that loss to Arizona State coming anywhere here.
Yeah.
No kidding. Because you don't really have the true numbers to line up and say, Michigan's the best defensive team in college basketball. Why? Because they played 17 directional schools before they actually played Duke in one of these tournaments? That's what's the tough part about college basketball. You'll enjoy it. You'll watch. You'll get some notes together on who can play. But those true numbers on KenPom, the sweet spot, really, it's only 1 month.
Yeah. Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't realize. So it's weird. I knew that the conference stuff mattered. I guess I didn't realize that some of the other stuff didn't truly factor into it. But that obviously makes a lot of sense. The one thing I started to attempt to do last year, and I'll give you guys a perfect example of it, and we'll see how it plays this year, but was for a team like Gonzaga, Donnie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and let me just preface this by saying, trust Donnie on these far more than myself, okay? Donnie's been doing this, but it's just early season stuff that is maybe a little bit reliable, right? Gonzaga's playing a defense outside of the top 270, right, Donnie?
Mm-hmm.
Which is an awful defense. How have they performed against their team total in those games? And you can get those statistics through November, right? And that can then allow you to get there because in the WAC, right? And are they still playing in the WAC this year? Aren't they moving soon, Gonzaga? Is that next year they go to the Big 12?
I think it's this year, isn't it? This year?
You know what? That's why I just caught myself. Oh, my God. See, now here's the thing. For all the, like, get Gonzaga in a real conference, I'm not prepared for Gonzaga to not be in that conference.
Let me see here. The Big 12 will compete 16 and 2012. Oh, I guess it's 2024 season. But no, this is just saying football here. Might be, let me see, what conference is Gonzaga? It still lists as the West Coast. So yeah, it's still the West Coast Conference then.
Yeah. One more. Point is, there will be, in the Big 12 9, there's no teams that rank outside of the top, you know, 250 in defense.
Conference. Whoa.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But inside the WAC, they run up against, I don't know, Portland State, whatever it might be, and there will be a defense there so bad that you go, okay, I know what Gonzaga does against defenses of this caliber. We can play a team total over.
Yes, yes. And college basketball is coming up. The numbers will be tough. We'll watch. We'll watch the aircraft carrier games, the ballroom games, the games in Alaska, the shootout, whatever that's called, all that stuff.
The other thing is for you, because it's so fun for me because there are your sports where you have your numbers that you truly truly trust, right? And baseball's obviously one, and you've really got away from team totals, and the props market, Donnie's right where you've made all this damage. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a world where college basketball 3-point shots could become a key market for you? Because I know I feel like the 3-point line is often a huge determining factor for you in college basketball.
Yeah, and it takes another level up because we're only in the infancy, you know, stages of the sports books legalized getting into that market, and it's fantastic to see. And sometimes, once a week it'll show up on a big Thursday night game. Now you're getting just about everything, which is where that, you know, ability to take advantage of the market for something you see on an injury. This guy's going to get more shots and all that stuff. Yes, I do think the turning point in sports gambling, and again, it's always, well, take a side. You take a total, that's fun. Oh, they're going to let you bet the first half, and now you can bet a player prop here. Now you can bet a team total and do all that stuff. We've seen a lot of changes. But I do think the markets that can be beaten are the actual prop bet markets, not the actual side or the total anymore. Like, you can find an individualized advantage that you feel you can get and roll with that, which is why, for me, like, last week I won on my team total Atlanta. I picked the team total the week before with the New York Jets, and it's been a lot of fun that way. But I find myself going, like, well, yeah, I could see it getting there. And then I go, well, hold on, this guy only needs 32 yards, like Trey McBride. Like, just sign me up, because I know the advantage is eventually going to be there, as opposed to betting Arizona itself, and it works out. So I think the prop market is so, so far more intriguing and profitable than the straight market now.
Yeah, I think, now again, to your point, right, will they offer these for every game, or is it going to be, oh, here's your, and again, but for you,
yeah, give, like, me will Princeton. We get, yeah,
well, I didn't even mean for Princeton, like, but are they going to offer it for the December Duke game in the Maui Invitation?
Oh yeah, I believe they will.
Right, well, yes. It'll be interesting, but also I guess for you that doesn't matter as much. You have to get the conference kind of head-to-heads there. So, look, I'm excited for it, you know, and there's a lot of storylines to follow this year in college basketball, right? Calipari has one of those, you know, kids-only teams again. Zach Edey back another year at Purdue as the National Player of the Year. And, look, I've told people this, and I say it with a smile because I know there's some people this bothers, but I also mean it. The biggest star in college basketball, on the men's side of things at least, is Bronny James. And whenever he debuts, it will be the story of the night. Unless it ran up against an NFL playoff game, Bronny's USC debut will be the story of the night whenever that happens.
And we'll all be in bed when it happens, so get ready for that.
It depends. We'll it depends, Donnie. We'll it's possible, but we don't. Now, let me. Now, I'll tell you this right now. Bronny debuts on the Pac-12 network, he should transfer. He should transfer right and be allowed to transfer right then and there.
Yep. Pac-12 After Dark, new impressive.
Oh,
now, in the morning show, Ben is starting. You know, there's a season's change, right? We all love football and college football, and I have my things I don't like. And Ben knows I don't like bowl season. Every chance I get to get pounded away on bowl season, I do. He gets kind of upset with that. But we also saw the rankings come out. And before the rankings came out for the college football playoff, I went on my rant saying, Ben, we know who the top teams are. The television show is designed to get us upset with those rankings because their only goal is to make sure we talk about the show. I had it on the back. It wasn't even like, I said, you know what, I got to catch this college football show because, you know, I can't stand the show. So I'm doing a little bit of work and I see it on there. The minute they flashed up Ohio State, I had a Cheshire Cat grin across my face knowing that the next day we were going to talk about it. Not a single person that is on earth outside of Columbus, Ohio, believes Ohio State is the best team in the country. So what do? Plant that flag as number one, and I couldn't get enough of it.
What's so interesting with something like that, though, Don, because I think it is more relevant than you, but I understand kind of your point here. But what's so interesting is if the college football, and they shouldn't do this, by the way, but if the playoff committee was responsible for providing us a rank after 2 weeks of college football, a preseason rank, Ohio State wouldn't be there, right? It's it's their ability to give us one, and we have no idea what happened the week before. Do you know what I mean? But because this would require, it's like, oh, wow, Ohio State jumped Georgia and Michigan from preseason polls, according to this group here. But this group doesn't have, you know, preseason polls. I'll tell you this, and this is just a personal gripe, and most people probably don't care. It is gut-wrenching to see Ohio State be in that spot and the main reason be that they won at Notre Dame with a second left.
Yes.
Like, Donnie, this really was the year for the Irish to not only get into the college football playoff, but feel like they could win a game. Smashed USC, they're a favorite at Clemson this week. That's how bad this Clemson team is. And a win in that game, Donnie, and you would look at this Notre Dame group and go, they're going. They are going to the college football playoff, and they're not going because they've lost two games. Now, again, expanded field, but it's just, it's so frustrating.
I'll tell you what's interesting, too. We haven't had a chance to catch up on this Connor Stallion situation either, and every single day more information comes out, and yesterday, the coaches of the Big Ten, I guess they might have a weekly phone call. They asked Jim Harbaugh to hang up, and they stayed on for an hour longer and banged on Michigan repeatedly to the commissioner of the Big Ten. There's too much money involved to do anything for my point. Like, if I'm the Big Ten commissioner, I'm going like, let me just fend this off as long as I can. Eventually, everybody's going to forget. Michigan's going to be in the national championship game. We're going to make a lot of money, and I don't want to interrupt that. And hopefully it goes away, and Jim Harbaugh takes an NFL job, and we go, well, case closed now. What are we going to do? Penalize Michigan again when Jim Harbaugh's gone? I'm looking at this tweet now from Stuart Mandel, and it says, in his text, SI, which is Sports Illustrated obtained, Stallions bragged that he was flying in for games pre-COVID, and we know he was there again starting in 2021. So the one season he wasn't there in 2020 to help, Michigan had a terrible season. Now, this is quote tweeted, or quote quote tweet back was, just, I guess, a rando that was watching a football game here from 2019, and he goes, guess who I found standing behind Don Brown in 2019's Notre Dame-Michigan game? You guessed it. Wearing his signature hat, it's Connor Stallions. Now, also, the news coming out that he was on the sideline at Central Michigan to glance over at the Michigan State sideline. And the fact of the matter is, you know how there's smoke, there's fire, right? Mm-hmm. You get a coach stand up there who's coaching his own team and goes, we're going to have to check into this and see what it was, as opposed to going, that's Brian, the AD's assistant. Like, he wanted to be on the sideline, we let him be on the sideline, that's who that is. Yeah. Michigan puts out a statement. We're reviewing this, as opposed to going like, yeah, no, that's not our guy. I don't know who that is. That's ridiculous. So we have a plant that's been on other teams' sideline stealing signals. This should be the biggest scandal we've seen in sports since Houston was banging drums and putting electric, you know, tasers on their bodies when a fastball was coming.
You're not wrong, but I don't know what the heck. What are they going? Because here's the thing, Donnie. They are arguably the best team in college football this year. Mm-hmm. They have an unbelievable chance to get to the college football playoff because the committee is so prepared to send two Big Ten teams this year. They will do it if they can, which means Michigan just needs to win one of two games, right, in terms of Penn State, Ohio State, potentially, in order to get in. No ban will come down this year, and they're not going to get, I mean, are they going to give him the death penalty? I don't know. But the reality is, this guy is skipping town. Look, I don't know if these Michigan folks still think that this isn't going to happen, but that dude is coaching Raider football, Donnie, next season. Is it not the case?
Hey, that guy was on a plane to take the Vikings job, and he didn't get that and was very upset he had to return to Michigan in the first place. Not because, he's doing it because he wanted to drive up his price here. Here's what normal college coaches, right? You get out before the avalanche is coming. Yep. One thing Pete Carroll got out of USC when he was riding high back in the day, they were coming after the SC program, and he knew it. So he's like, perfect time, Seattle, welcome, here I am. Happy to have me? Of course they are. It happens all over the place. You burn the candle at both ends until it runs out, then you bounce. You go, not my problem anymore. We'll be back to close it down next, right here on Money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Every team needs himself a little Connor Stallions. And by the way, I wouldn't doubt that half the top 10 teams have their own Connor Stallions embedded somewhere. And like, oh my goodness, we got to pull the cord on this and somehow get out of it here. But the fact that you keep on hearing about this where other coaches have said, yeah, this guy called me up and paid me a couple $100 to go watch Purdue and film the sideline and send it to him. You are caught red-handed here. And I understand that call that has been made between the Big Ten coaches gets heated because they're going like, we have all the evidence. Why is nobody acting? And the commissioner's like, not going to do anything. Oh, we're going to wait for the NCAA to do this. Oh, so in 2025, when Jim is gone, that's when we'll get the ruling. And then they'll go like, well, we put a 10-year show cause on Jim, which means if he wants to come back to college, he can't for 10 years when he wants to apply again. Oh, he's retired now? Yeah, thanks, guys.
Man, I don't know if you heard me laughing back here, but... You know that you gotta go on Twitter, man. You just, I know we're doing this on air and it's probably not great for everyone else, but you have to look at what I see. There's a tweet storm coming out around Michigan football, Donnie, and it's pretty good, man. But we're jazzed up. We're in person again tonight. I mean, I absolutely love it, man. 7 p.m. start time for people with Pro Football Today weekday. Me, Donnie, and Joe. I'll be live on Game Time from 6 to 7. So we'll cover everything you need there, including the football game, but also we'll do a little college football. We'll certainly get involved with the NBA tonight with Coach as well. So, but man, it's a great night. It's a great night of action, great night of sports, and I can't wait to get into it, DRS.
No, it's going to be a good time overall. It really is. And, you know, standing behind the desk with the boys, laying it out. And as I told you, it might not be the most entertaining game, which is exactly why you got to watch this show. So you can get your entertainment in before the game, get your wagers in. We'll have some fun with some best bets, some intricacies to the game to have some fun with, along with the rest of your Sports Grid programming tonight. So it is a good time. It flies by. By the way, the 1 hour show. Look, every time I pitch a 1 hour show, it gets messed up somehow. I'm just going to let the people know.
That's
1 hour
true.
Is perfect. And they keep messing me up one way or another. Maybe we have to tank the show tonight, Kevin, to get less time. Is that possible? Should we do that tonight? No, absolutely not.
Rating.
We are bringing the heat, people, and that's the way it goes for JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. Moneyline, Football Friday tomorrow? Heck yes. See you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.